We got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, is he? Does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with the bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. And then the duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. And then, and you know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a sun devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo is going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo is utterly outstanding. Well, but Butch is going to have to be clear-minded and crafty. I mean, Butch will find a way. There's no question. The Coug will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
As coaches, we failed to get through to them. As coaches, we failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends. Now, their fat little girlfriends have some obvious advantages. For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are and how easy it's going to be and how, we had a whole bunch of people. Everybody wanted to win the football game, but nobody wanted to play the football game. Well, that defies every level of work ethic that exists with regard to football. And as coaches, we have to solve our failure on reaching them, and the players have to listen. And I'm willing to go to fairly amazing lengths to try to make that happen. I don't know if I'll be successful this week or not, but you know, I am going to try, and there will be some people inconvenienced. And if it happens to be their fat little girlfriends, too bad.
That's a great question. I like the new grape red vines. You know, they're hard to find.
Seems like a lot of people this whole winter being decisive on candy corn. Do you have an opinion on the other one?
I think it's just awful. I think candy corn's awful. It, you know, it's like fruitcake. You know, there's a reason they only serve fruitcake once a year, because it's awful. There's a reason they only serve mint juleps once a year, because they're awful. And there's a reason they only serve candy corn once a year, because it's awful. Now, that does beg the question why they serve it all. But anyway, that's my opinion. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I hope there's Bigfoot. I don't think there is. The reason I don't think there is because we found bones of dinosaurs and everything else, but we haven't found bones that I've heard of Bigfoot. Aliens, I suspect there is, and I don't know that they're they're little green men, and I don't know that they're specifically in our galaxy. Why wouldn't God build other Earths and other places? Why only this one? You know, and even if you're an evolution guy and lightning striking mud and, you know, popping in, they say, well, the notion of God is far-fetched. Oh, really? Striking mud and then July, you know, sparking out of there and then it going like that? Well, that's just such an obvious, easy path to follow. I don't know that they would, just be hostile mutants and the rest, you know. They might look, remarkably like us, where style-wise or something, they evolved a different direction, maybe buildings, cars, different, who knows, you know. But I certainly wouldn't rule out
I certainly wouldn't rule out life somewhere else other than just Earth, because see, to me, that seems like a lot less of a stretch than the notion that, oh, we're the only one. We're the only one special enough that lightning struck a puddle of mud, or we're the only one special enough that God cares about enough to have life on this planet. Say, I don't believe that. I mean, everybody wants to be special, but I don't think we're that special. So that's what I think.
That's good.
I know you have strong thoughts on weddings. I'm in the middle of planning one right now. Do you have any advice for me?
Who are you marrying?
His name is Trevor.
Okay, yeah, well, I'll have to set up a meeting and I'll talk to him. Okay, so where's Trevor from?
He's from Florida.
What does Trevor do for a living?
He works in sports as well, covers football.
He does what?
He covers football as well.
Really? Well, I don't know. We'll keep a close eye on it, but whatever you and Trevor decide, I would kind of keep it on the down low, which you failed to do that. Trevor was probably planning to, but you didn't. So go ahead and don't say anything else about it, but as soon as the season's over, or even an off week, go elope. Trust me on that. Go elope. Because basically every female in the family is going to terrorize you guys until it's over. Once it's over, I mean, they'll be upset for a few days, but it'll be over. And then, you know, you cruise along, have a happy marriage, have a happy life.
I'll pass along the message. Thanks, Coach. Congrats on the win.
Trevor, unless he's crazy, is totally on my side. Trust me on this. If Trevor doesn't have the sense to do that, tell him to call me, because, I mean, he needs to do trust. I've told all my kids, I'll give you $10,000 extra if you elope. So far, they haven't done it, but I would, too.
I'll have him call you for sure.
All right. Just wanted to do that tribute for Coach Mike Leach. One of literally the most interesting / just coolest people out there. And, you know, he will be missed, unfortunately, passed of a tragic heart condition over the weekend, and just unfortunate to lose him. Which brings me into a personal experience. Just this past week, a family friend had a heart condition as well, and had a totally optional procedure to get done, and passed away very suddenly. And you know, it just puts into perspective life and how quick and how fragile it can be. So you know, I don't like to get too sentimental on this show, but just, you know, puts life into perspective a little bit. And you know, so get out there and you know, hug your family, hug your loved ones, go buy that and go on that vacation you wanted to go to, because life's too short, you know, life's too short. And, yeah, Mike Leach and people like him are, you know, giving us those quotes and, you know, doing some other things, you know, are not just being a football coach, but a very cool, interesting person. That's what it's all about. So a tribute to, Mike Leach. And, also, just recently lost Paul Silas, who was the head coach of the Cavs when LeBron James was drafted. And, you know, just too bad. So, you know, just wanted to put that tribute in and, you know, let everyone know that we were thinking about him. But just a wonderful, wonderful person and an excellent football coach that did a ton for the sport. And I just, as I was watching that, I read a quote from him that I had never seen before. And it said, "I don't know why guys are going to bars trying to find all these women." He's like, "Just go to Target." He's like, "It's a 10-to-1 guy to girl ratio, and they're buying shit they don't already need anyway." So, you know, it's just a good stuff. So Mike Leach, one of the best to ever do it. And I had a bunch of buddies text me this morning, and you know, they were just sharing a bunch of Mike Leach videos and quotes and stuff like that. And so we already have it in the works. I think this Sunday we're going to record one for sometime over Christmas break, but we're going to do a podcast entitled "Coaches You'd Like to Have a Drink With." So I think that would be a good one. And I think Mike Leach will be on that list, no doubt, for sure. So just wanted to share that with you all. But let's get into the podcast we were planning on for today, and wanted to start by, you know, basically just sharing the fact that Mount Union, first of all, don't worry about those slides. I messed up my slides today, and as everyone knows, I'm a slide person, so I'm just going to go off the cuff here today and do the best I can, Joe. So, well, thank you, because you know, life throws you a curveball, you got to adapt and. I'm getting better at that as I get a little bit older, but you know, so I want to start with a local team, Mount Union. They have advanced to what's called the Stag Bowl in Division III. They will be representing Mount Union, and I got to check it on my phone to make sure. They're going to be playing North Central December 16th, 2022. That game will be in Annapolis, Maryland, which is really cool, and will be on ESPN. So, this coming Saturday, Mount Union will play for another Division III title, and they are a 13-time champion of their division. So,
about that school,
yeah, I know.
Always has a type.
You know what? This area in football, the Northeast Ohio area, you know, you always hear of these different coaches. You got the Stoops, and you got Tressel, and you got Urban Meyer, and you got. You know, just you go, you name it. Even you look at the coaches the other night. You have the Rams coach and you got Brandon Staley. The Rams coach, McVay. He went to John Carroll, you know, and just so many. Brandon Staley's from Mentor, I believe. So you have just so many coaches in this area and so many, like football, I feel like, you know, I played a little bit of football, but it's not like, but it's still like in my blood. I love it. I watch it. College football, professional football, even high school football to an extent. And, you know, I mean, look at our local teams, Canfield and South Range. Awesome. And Warren JFK, all these teams made it real far. And just so many local ties to the Youngstown area. And it's just awesome. So just great stuff. And like you said, I don't even know like where it comes from. I don't know if it's just ingrained or why that community does so well, but I think you got a lot of these athletes that are really good, but not necessarily good enough to maybe play at the Division I level. So they're like, why not go play for a title at Mount Union? And they get it done there. So congratulations to Mount Union and good luck to them this coming weekend. Speaking of the best in college football, over the weekend, there was, the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And I will admit, I have not been a huge fan of Caleb Williams. He's from the Washington, D.C. area, went to Oklahoma last year, transferred, went with Lincoln Riley to USC, goes out and wins the Heisman Trophy this year. So give him credit, 13 games, a little over 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. So deservedly so. Also does a little bit on the ground with his legs. CJ Stroud came in third this year. So finished fourth last year, came in third this year. He will be off to the NFL, but does get a crack at the college football playoff to kind of cement his legacy in Ohio State lore. Max Duggan, the quarterback from TCU, finished second. Didn't have quite the impressive numbers, but led a TCU team that was picked, I believe, 7th preseason in the Big 12, and they will play Michigan in the college football playoff. And then Stetson Bennett, who I'm working on my Stetson Bennett impression, because just the name Stetson Bennett like conjures up some images of the South, doesn't it? Of like, well, I'm Stetson and I'm going to be down on my plantation and I'm going to get these people and these damn Yankees from Ohio up north. I'm going to take them on and be victorious in the Peach Bowl for the Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, like,
whoa,
so
that was pretty good.
I've been working on it because every time I see Stetson Bennett, he looks like this buttoned up, you know, very, very Southern, person. He is, I believe, 25 or 26. And there was a cool little thing on the internet this weekend. It said Lamar Jackson and Stetson Bennett were in college at the same time. And Stetson Bennett, who is now in his sixth year of college, Lamar Jackson's like in his fourth or fifth year in the NFL. It's just amazing. But they're the same age. They're the same age. So just kind of crazy there. So
what do you think about USC quarterbacks, by the way?
Well, I think for a long time, they were really good. You know, your Matt Leinarts and, you know, just on and on and on down the line there. They had a big lull there for a long, long time.
Big fizzle, a little. Yeah,
they struggled there for a long time. Matt Barkley was okay for a while. I think he's still in the NFL. But Carson Palmer before him was good. And, you know, they had about a 7-8 year period of great quarterbacks, but over the past decade, it's been dry there. But now you bring in the quarterback whisperer, Lincoln Riley, who I still don't think is as good as Ryan Day, but he has done enough. So, all right. So let's look at some of these. Keaton Slovis, I think he's transferred out of Pitt already. Jackson Dart transferred to Ole Miss. Keaton Slovis again. JT Daniels transferred to Georgia and then to West Virginia. Matt Fink, Sam Darnold, terrible. He went third overall. Let's not forget that. Max Brown wasn't very good. Cody Kessler, former Brown. Yeah, and then you got, you know, Matt Barkley, Max Wittick. I don't remember him. Mitch Mustaine. I did not remember him being there. I think he used to be at Arkansas. Aaron Korp, no idea. Mark Sanchez. I forgot about Mark Sanchez. He had a nice college career. Not a great NFL quarterback. John David Booty. There's another one. There's a good name for you. But, yeah, you know, pre-Carson Palmer and post-Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez era, not, you know, kind of dry there.
This rough spot, right?
That's a big, through the teens there. That was kind of, and Sam Darnold was really thought highly of, but, you know, not.
He hung out for a long time.
He did.
Longer than I think his talent.
I agreed. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Lincoln Riley does, because if you look at some of the best quarterbacks in college football, CJ Stroud is from about 40 minutes outside of Los Angeles. I believe the quarterback from Utah is not too far from there. I think that DJ Uiagalelei from Clemson, who's now in the portal, is from that area. And and Bryce Young is from that area too. So, I mean, those are three really good college quarterbacks that from LA that just, you know, didn't go to USC because of the situation there. So they missed out on a few.
Smart thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. So, so that's what happened. That's over the weekend. Now let's get into the Cleveland Browns. Because, you know, it's kind of an obligation on this show where we're based out of Youngstown. You know, Joe and I are Browns fans. Joe, begrudgingly, I think, is a Browns fan. Yeah. And me, a lot of times, I'm a regretful Browns fan. I love them, and I hate that I love them, unfortunately, most of the time. But, Joe, let me just ask you this. If you had to put – I'm looking up at one of our pictures up here, and there's a fire – in the background, who do you think should be on the hot seat with the Cleveland Browns? And I'll give you a few names and you can throw out who. Okay. So you can't really put the owners on the hot seat because they own the team. They have to actually willingly sell the team. So the Haslams we're going to exclude from this conversation. So I will start with at the top, general manager Andrew Berry. So what do you think about him?
I like him. I like Andrew Berry. I think their front office really has a good strategy, and I just don't think they're able to put it together the way they want to for some reason.
Agreed. Paul D. Podesta, probably one of the smartest humans in sports, you know, famous for Moneyball and all that stuff with Oakland A's. Just a very smart guy. I think they have the right people in the front office. A lot of people are belittling Andrew Berry and the organization really as a whole, because they're saying, well, the Browns should have known better with this trade of Watson and whatnot. But I mean, really, how could they? This was unprecedented. And a lot of people were like, well, 4 to 6 games. And then a federal judge actually said 6 games and turns out to be 11.
Well, they're playing the long game. I mean, they really have to be looking into not even next year, but the really the long franchise year.
I don't think you could have said that any better. The long game is perfect the way I would describe it. I think, though, they have to win next year. I think they have to. I think jobs will be on the line next year. Stefanski, let's go with him. What's your thoughts on him?
Well, I think if he's able to do what he's been doing, he'll be let go. If he can give up some of the play calling ability and just be a head coach, I think that he would be much better off. I think Watson's able to run his own offense without having the being micromanaged by a coach. I think that would frustrate me if I was a talent.
That's true. And I think there was a story out on ESPN the other day, and it said the Browns are the number one team in the NFL that uses analytics. They use it more than any other team. You know, they base their talent recruitment and play calling and whatnot and all these other factors on analytics. And that goes right to the top with Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta, right into Stefanski. This is a team that is not going to be like in the past, quick trigger, fire the coach.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing because, like you said, I think playing the long game, consistency is key. When you're turning over a head coach every year and every year, there's no continuity and it hurts the players, frankly.
So do you think, like, you know, a lot of these fringe calls where, you know, 4th and 1 and you could get a field goal or go for it, like analytics is probably governed that call more than Stefanski is, I'm assuming.
Well, I think with analytics, the fourth down call is to go for it a lot of the time, or to go for the 7, because obviously one touchdown, an extra point, is still more than 2 field goals. So analytics, most of the time, as long as it's not like 4th and 8 or longer, it's probably going to say go for it. It makes more sense. Even if you get it 50% of the time and it's 4th and 3, it's like, well, that's still better to get 50% than both of those field goals going through.
Right.
But I think the one thing analytics doesn't factor in is feelings and mood and momentum, because I don't know, like I wasn't able to see the entire game on Sunday, but it felt to me they drove right down the field and they had the ball, and it would have been like a 30 yard field goal, lower 40 yard field goal. And it just kind of takes like the wind out of your sails when you go for it. And that play call looked like it could have worked, but they kind of got cute. You know what I mean? They take off Watson. They bring in Jacoby Brissett, which love him. But you're thinking, oh, quarterback sneak. It makes, you know, he gets it like 95% of the time. Or last week they did that. They brought him in and they ran like a reverse and they got the first down. But they did this play action fake, and Jacoby Brissett, you know, God love him, but he overthrew it by about a yard. And Peoples-Jones was open. So if he hits him in stride, that play works. And Stefanski looks like a genius. But when it doesn't work, you open yourself up to criticism when you're not giving the ball to Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt when you're a running team, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, I figure, like, with Watson coming back, this is a brand new scheme now, where if you're going to use a 2-quarterback deal where Jacoby's going to come in on those short, you know, deals and get it, you know, you do have to change it up because the defense is going to expect it's going to be that run up the middle. But if it's, you know, if they just started doing it, they got to get some time in where they make him so that he's not rusty coming off the bench because he hasn't played in 3 quarters.
Exactly. Yeah. You're bringing in a cold quarterback that hasn't, you know, and granted that was the first drive of the game, but even from warmups to whatnot, that's still like probably 20, 30 minutes he hasn't thrown a football at the very minimum. And then you're expecting him to hit a 4th and 1 pass, you know, with some defensive pressure up front coming at you.
And I couldn't imagine the amount of jitters that we pull somebody in cold and have a critical play that you have to pull off, or like the field goal where it comes down to win loss on your kicker. Those two things, I don't know if my leg would work to kick that ball at all. Cause you hear about these quarterbacks who say that in the beginning of the game, they're nervous and they got so much adrenaline that they have to settle themselves in. Mm-hmm. What do you pull about the guy that gets one down to get a first down?
I know. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know. And so much of the game like that when the talent is very equal on the field, it's about feel. It's about momentum. It's about living in the moment. And again, I love the analytics side of football, but I think there's something to be said about just watching the game and are we feeling it right now? Do you want to just kick a field goal? Because I felt like we were chasing those points the rest of the game too. And there was a moment when it was 20 to 10 and like, wow, that extra field goal would have, you know, we would have played the game differently. And again, hindsight is 20/20, or as Cam Newton says, hindsight's 50/50. that I love that quote, by the way. That's just excellent. But I don't know. It's like when you're chasing points and you leave points on the field, and it's happened several times this year.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, yeah. I don't mind that, but you've got to figure out a way to make it successful. Yes. More than 50% of the time.
Exactly. You know? I agree. And love analytics, but sometimes they will bite you in the ass.
Mathematically, you bring in Brissett, a run up the middle versus a pass, which do you think a jittery single down quarterbacks has a better shot at?
I think,
even if they know it's coming.
Right. Well, I think that play is all or nothing, because you're either going to hit him in stride and it's a touchdown. You look like a genius, but there's so many things that could go wrong. You know, you could fumble the snap. You could overthrow it like he did. You could underthrow it. It could be intercepted. It could be incomplete. You could get sacked, whatever it might be. There's a lot of things that are factored in. And I'm sure, you know, those people are way smarter than I am about football and scheme and whatnot. But when so many fans are clamoring for just give Nick Chubb the damn ball, it's like you take your chances. And has Nick Chubb been stopped before? Yeah, he has. But I like our chances there a little bit better. And like I said, you don't want to get too cute in certain situations, and especially a game like that when it's must win. And I get it. I get that play call, and I don't want to criticize him too much for that, because, you know, he is trying to win the game. He's trying to win, but trying to win the game sometimes prevents you from winning the game. And, you know, I put something out there on Twitter the other day, and it was a timestamp of the Jets game. So the Browns were 1-0. There was a minute and 30 seconds left on the clock, and the Jets have the ball on their own 34-yard line, and they won that game. You know, down 13, 66 yards to go, you know, whatever down it was, no timeouts, all that kind of stuff, and they won that game. To me, it's like we could factor in a lot of things, but that's at that point when that season really started to go downhill.
And so, now, when, you know, there was even three games ago,
yeah,
there were lots of fans that were calling for the defensive coordinator.
Yes.
And then they come back and almost win the entire game the very next week. And I haven't heard much to say about firing the defensive coordinator. So what changed there?
All right. Yeah, well, I still don't think a ton has changed. I still think there is a large portion of the fan base that wants Joe Woods gone. I would still not have him on the hottest seat. We'll get, how about let's go to the special teams coordinator.
Okay, sorry, I skipped right ahead.
No, that's, I need to get to both of them. So let's start with Mike Prefer. He is their special teams coordinator. And again, you do your job as a coach and to try to put your guys or girls or whatever it might be in the best position possible to succeed.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's those players that need to execute. You know, if you're putting him in a bad situation, that's on you as a coach. If you're putting him in the right situation and they're not doing what they're supposed to, it's on the players, but it also falls back on the coach. So sometimes you're in a no-win situation, but I feel like with the special teams this year, they haven't been very special at all.
No.
Outside of the Donovan Peoples-Jones kick return for a touchdown.
But that was talent there.
And that was a lot of talent. Yeah, he broke a lot of tackles. But, like, I mean, there's and you had the other one I can think of that comes to mind is the Cade York game-winning field goal of game week one. Outside of those two plays, the special teams really hasn't done much this year except for make life easier on the opposition by giving up long returns or running into the kicker when it's 4th and 17 and giving them a free first down with the Bengals the other day. It's just really frustrating that another thing with the Browns is teams that win figure out ways to win. Teams that lose figure out ways to lose. Now, you had mentioned too, like, no one was clamoring for the defensive coordinator in the Tampa Bay game because they did their job. But it's like, doesn't it feel like, and this is maybe you or me or whoever out there, but doesn't it feel like when the offense is doing their job, the defense isn't? Like when the offense was scoring 30 points a game and they were losing because the defense was giving up too many points, or when the defense is keeping the opponent down, the offense can't seem to score. Like, I think Cincinnati punted on like their first 6 possessions before that punt, roughing the punter. And then basically
9,000 yellow flags.
I think there was like 98 yards of penalties in the first half or something. It was ridiculous. So it's like, you're basically gifting them their first touchdown. And so outside of that, they scored 16 points. If you tell me you held the Bengals to 23 points, I'd say there's better than a 50% chance you're winning that game. But it was just like the offense and Watson, you know, again, I know people want to criticize him and, you know, don't like the person he is. He actually played pretty well.
Yeah.
Donovan Peoples-Jones played pretty well in that game. And Njoku played pretty well. But the offensive line has struggled lately. Right. And Nick Chubb couldn't run the ball well because of that offensive line. And it's just like when one thing's going well, you know, like the only game I can think of that they played as a complete team this entire year is that first Bengals game. They played great in all 3 aspects of the game. Maybe that Pittsburgh game, the first game too. But, you know, outside of that, it's like the offense has either been good and the defense has been bad, or flip it. And it's like, and special teams has been bad all year. Yeah. So it's just a major factor. So I don't know what it is with
this
team. So
if that's your question, then special teams has my lever to
put it down. And I think Mike Prefer has got to be on the hottest seat. All right, Joe Woods, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think he's a talented dude. I think that, you know, he struggled in the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. and he came back and showed that he can add some discipline. Penalties on both mm-hmm. sides of the ball have been absolutely terrible, so he needs discipline. So he would be, after special teams, defense would still be on the hot seat.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I don't know if I'm ready to fire him quite yet, but I think you almost maybe need a different voice in the room at some point too, when guys have heard the same voice for 3 years and maybe they're not improving, and maybe we over-evaluated the talent on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know. Miles Garrett's great. We know that. They're going to keep Denzel Ward. He's great. Greg Newsome, solid. But there's a lot of players on this defense that are probably not going to be around next year. That are maybe overvalued or just not doing their jobs. The safeties have been a struggle. The defensive tackles have been an absolute mess this year. So the defensive tackles. And then one thing you can't help is injuries. And I just saw JOK is now out for the
linebackers,
year.
Linebackers, I mean, who's going to play this
week?
I know.
Week? You know, that kind Anthony of Walker's out for the year. Sione Takitaki's out for the year. JOK now is out for the year. I think there's one other guy I'm missing that's out for the year now. And it's just been an unfortunate turn of events.
Yeah, and so you don't even know going into a next season what that, you know, part of the field even looked like this
year.
Sure. Talented people, but how do you coach a different person in that spot every day?
Exactly. So let me just ask it this way. If you got to put money on it, let's put some fake money on the line. Yeah. Let's do Stefanski. Let's do the DC Joe Woods, and let's do the special teams Mike Prefer. So let's start with Stefanski. Is he back next year?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I agree. Is Joe Woods back next year?
Coin flip.
Okay. So I'm going to say no, he's gone.
Okay.
To just get a fresh start. And then Mike Prefer.
100%.
Gone?
Gone.
Okay, I agree with that. So Joe is only axing one person, flipping a coin for another, and says Stefanski's back.
Sorry.
I am axing two people. Prefer's gone, and Joe Woods is gone, in my opinion. And I really have tried to be patient with Joe Woods. But
now, do you think if we cap off the rest of the year, keeping the intensity with our DBs and our linebacker core comes and our tackles come, do you think his job is safe? Do you think he's able to save it?
It's such a good question, but I don't know, because I felt like this was like last year a little bit too. Like the defense took a while to kind of gel, and they were playing so great last year. And last year was the offense couldn't get anything going. And it was something like if the Browns would have just scored 17 points or more in X amount of games, they would have made the playoffs last year. But and then this year, it's like the offense is scoring like 25 points a game, and they, you know, they can't stop anybody. So I don't know. I think he's gone.
Okay.
I really think he's gone. I mean, there's no point of firing him now. You know, I think the Browns have like a 0.5% chance to make the playoffs. So all hope is not completely lost, but it's pretty much gone. So this, the rest of the season, I think you're getting Deshaun Watson and the Browns, basically a lot of players giving them an audition. So you have this week, you're playing on Saturday against the Ravens. You got the Saints, the Commies, and the Steelers. So you got four games left, two home, two on the road, and that's it, you know. So, you know, if they win out, they can finish above 500, 9-8, which is, you know, actually that's what I thought they would go this year, is 9-8. I just thought the path would be a little different.
Right.
It hasn't been very pretty.
Should have won. We did not.
Exactly. Like, at preseason, you look and you're like, ah, they probably lose the Tampa Bay game, but you mark the Jets down as a guaranteed win, or right, the Falcons down as a guaranteed win, and they lose both of those. And
I will tell you, the marked improvement Watson had from the first game to the second game with his throwing angles and his feet,
yeah,
and how he stayed in the pocket and not dirting every ball that he threw.
Yes. I mean,
really big.
He, you know, really impressed me, and he will show people. I don't know. There's going to be that portion of the Browns fan base that will never like him, and that is absolutely their right. I am in the portion of I root for the team. So if he's on the team I'm rooting for, you know, as long as, you know, I'm trying to put all the off the field stuff aside, but if he's the quarterback of the team I'm rooting for, I'm with him. I was with Baker Mayfield before. I was with Jacoby Brissett. I was with Bernie Kosar back to when I was a little kid, and I will always root for whoever is the quarterback or players on this team. Now, that said, I think there will always be that sliver of the fan base that will never root for him as long as he is on the Browns, or they might not even watch the Browns or like the Browns or root for the Browns outside of maybe like a Nick Chubb type player. Like, I hope Nick Chubb does well, but I don't want to see the Browns do well while he's on the team, and whatever, that's their right. But for me, whoever's wearing the brown and orange and white, I'm rooting for no matter what. But like you said, he has shown markedly great improvement from week one to week two. And you got to remember, all these other guys he's going against, they're in their 13th, 14th week of the season, and he took off 700 days. He really didn't look good in that Houston game. He looked bad. But he looked pretty solid. I think he completed about 65% of his balls, threw for like 275 yards, touchdown and interception. But he made a couple plays that were just like not normal plays. I think there was one where a guy was wrapped around his ankles and just a bullet 25, 30 yards in the air to Peoples Jones and completion. That's not a normal quarterback thing to do, you know, and he did a great job with that. And he will improve and improve and improve. And hopefully, as time heals all wounds, maybe he can repair his image off the field, be that leader that the Browns so desperately have been seeking for so many years. And the fans will maybe see this is why you give up some draft picks and maybe went through the off the field black eye and media circus for this guy because of the talent he does bring to your football team. So
I think
see.
It gives us a better chance to get Njoku, but to sign another contract.
So. Exactly. There you go. So, so that's kind of where we are with the Browns. You know, it's not, these guys are going out and they're going to try to do their best. So, and they're playing for their jobs, a lot of these guys. So I think you're going to see a very competitive football team against the Baltimore Ravens this Saturday, and they play Saturday, which is kind of cool and kind of weird because college football, you know, is not quite back in session yet to their bowl season. And Lamar Jackson is probably going to be out this game. And their backup, Huntley, I believe, got hurt, which puts the Baltimore Ravens on their third string quarterback. I think it's Anthony Brown, who if you're an Ohio State fan, you might remember he was actually the quarterback of the Oregon Ducks last year, former Boston College quarterback too. But we'll get to that on Thursday. But any other thoughts on the Browns? You know,
no,
for the
I can't put that one to bed.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But again, they put themselves in a bad spot heading into this game, and that's where we leave it now. So we'll see what they do this coming Saturday. But you know, at this point, you're playing for your jobs, you're playing for your pride, and there's still that tiny sliver that you can get into the playoffs, but not likely. So I think right now it's the Bills, the Chiefs, sitting in that 1-2 seed. You got the Ravens up there, you got the Titans up there, and then the Bengals. I believe it's the Bengals, the Patriots, and I'm missing one team that's in there. But there's some competitive football still to be played down the AFC, and maybe the Browns at the very least can play spoiler to some of those teams. So so we'll see where we land with that. As far as the Cavs, I just want to just
can I do one more football?
Please, yeah, please.
What about those Rams on Thursday night?
Oh, did you watch? You know that? What? That's Thursday night. Just feels like I know it was only 5 days ago, but it feels so long ago. So I'm going to let you take that one, and then I'll give my thoughts on
so
it.
So really, our boy Baker Mayfield was able to come on the field as a guy who had been like on that team for only a couple of days, probably knew five plays out of their playbook. And you had a, you know, fourth quarter rally, very end of the game, that drove for a touchdown to win that game. Looking a lot like the original Baker Mayfield that was just in control of, you know, the that college team and then into the first, you know, series for the Browns.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, I completely forgot about that. Like I said, it was like, I think he signed literally 1 week ago today.
Right.
And then he's playing on a Thursday night football because they lose their top two quarterbacks. And yeah, good for Baker Mayfield. That's all I got to say is, you know, like I loved Baker when he was on the team. I didn't love him when he wasn't on the team. And he's one of those guys, you love him when he's on your team, but you don't necessarily like him when he's on. There's a whole section of Baker bros out there. Yeah. I am not a Baker bro, but I will support him when he was on the Browns and loved what he did and thank him for what he did for the Browns franchise. But, he really struggled in Carolina. And like you said, he just like literally got picked up off the street. Carolina straight up released him. And this is a former number one overall pick, former Heisman Trophy winner, you know, and he does play his best football when he thinks all the cards are stacked against him.
Yeah.
And again, good for Baker Mayfield for doing what he did. And I'm glad you brought that up because that wasn't even on the forefront of my mind.
And I hope that offensive coordinator figures out that without micromanaging Baker, let him go do his thing. Mm-hmm. The dude is a talented dude and he's got full of energy. So let him do his thing. And I think he'll be fine.
You think Odell signs back with the Rams?
You know, that's a good question because not long after that, Odell said I'd play in the playoffs, but he wasn't talking about the Rams.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
The Rams I think are 4-8 and not headed. Maybe the worst, one of the worst Super Bowl champions to return to the field the following year. So, but good for Baker, and maybe he'll get to play out the string. And I don't think he's obviously not going to be the Rams starter next year. That's Matthew Stafford's job, but maybe in the future, maybe he bought himself another contract next year, whether it's a team that, you know, is searching for a quarterback. He's not going to be this come right in and start kind of guy where you're going to throw all this money at, but he could be that, you know, really good backup quarterback, or he could be that serviceable starting quarterback for a team that's maybe on the fringe. So, so good for Baker, and you know, hopefully it all works out for him. The only time I'll root against him is if he's playing against the Browns. That's but, exactly right. But again, good for him, and I hope he does well, and we wish Baker good luck. So
my opinion though is that was an anomaly game, and that if you played him a stretch of six games, the old Baker would show himself again.
Exactly.
But I'm glad he did have a little success that night.
Absolutely. Well, Dave Chard, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing that. We're giving you a shout out from the Movie Sports and TV group. So appreciate you tuning in. And again, we appreciate you all watching, and appreciate you following. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show across our social media networks. One final thing, just want to touch on the Cleveland Cavaliers real quick before we get out of here. They lost 112-111 last night. They're still 17-10 for the season. They were down like 15 points, I think, going into the fourth. But the Spurs, who were on 11-game losing streak but now have now won three in a row. Greg Popovich, who is, again, one of the – like we were talking about Mike Leach earlier, Greg Popovich is one of the coolest – coaches and people out there in sports and in life. Highly recommend looking into some of his motivational stuff, but he does a great job. But the Spurs get the W last night. The Cavs blew their opportunities and had a couple chances at the end. The Cavs are kind of they've been very good, and I will say they're probably a top three, definitely a top four team in the Eastern Conference this year, but I would say top three team for sure. But they're a complete Jekyll and Hyde at home versus on the road. At home, I think they're 12-2, and on the road, they're like 5-8. So it's been a bit of a struggle, but the Cavs are still like number three overall in point differential. I think they're second in defense and seventh in offense overall for this season. I'll put the numbers out on our social media pages so you can check that out for sure. But the Cavs, they have a few games upcoming. They play the Mavericks tomorrow night on the road, and then I think one more, and then they get back to home for about a five or six game homestand there to head over a Christmas holiday. But we will be back on Thursday. I will have plenty more information for you guys on Thursday. We'll preview a little bit of the Browns Ravens game, and we'll have a little bit of fun outside of the football scene as well. So, and didn't talk about Ohio State at all in this show. And as you guys know, we talk about Ohio State a lot on this show. I've been kind of working behind the scenes, setting up some interviews and getting some stuff and all kinds of info ready, but we will have an Ohio State, Georgia preview for that college football playoff coming up on New Year's Eve. So again, appreciate you guys watching, and we will see you guys on Thursday. For Joe, I'm Justin. Thanks for watching the 330 Sports Show on Youngstown Studio. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the